Thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. You are my glory and the lifter of my head. I thank you this morning, for Thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. You are a shield for your people, Lord God. You are their glory, their lifter of their heads. No longer will they be downcast, for you lift up their heads, no longer in shame. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you are our shield. We look to you and to no one else. Oh, Father, may your name be glorified. May it be lifted up in this place. May it be lifted up in this place, in everyone's life, Lord God. In those areas, Lord God, that they struggle, Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would give them victory in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we look to you. You are our shield. To the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We have no one else but you. You said to Peter, do you want to leave as well? And he said, where shall we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. You alone, our rock, our hiding place. Thank you, Jesus. I sense the presence of the Lord in this place. And I sense the Lord reaffirming us that we should be reaffirmed that He is our great deliverer, that the Lord is the one that watches over you, the Lord is the one that contends for you. We thank you. Your word says that I will contend with those that contend against you. Father, I thank you for those that are struggling with addictions this morning. Lord, whatever type of addiction, Lord God, that they're struggling with this morning, I thank you, Father, that you will contend with those that contend with them. That the word, in fact, the word says, can the captive of the tyrant be set free? Or the captive of the warrior be set free? Or the reward of the tyrant be retrieved? But you, Lord, say yes, the captive can be set free. Treasure can be retrieved. I will contend with those that contend with you, and I will save their children. Your enemies will be full of their own flesh and drunk with rivers of their own blood. The world will know that I, the Lord, am thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. We thank you that you are a great deliverer, that you would deliver people from drug addiction right now in Jesus' mighty name, that you would deliver them from pornography in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would deliver them from gossiping in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, Father, deliver your people. You are a strong deliverer. You come with a mighty hand. Father, we give you praise and we give you glory in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. To the Lamb of God, there is no one like you, Jesus. Amen. Please put your hands together for Miss Noctula. Can I say this morning, and please let's give another round of applause to our worship team. Some of them were a bit down today, but thank you for that. Please, another round of applause to our worship team. And we do that not because it's entertainment, but we do that to honor them. We do it to honor them. Amen. This morning, I want to bring some encouragement for all of us. And the encouragement, the title of the message is The Harvest is Plentiful. And I thank you to Ms. Claire, who put that together, and her team. We're so grateful to the Lord for them. Hey, I'm really sensing that the Lord, you see, this thing that he says, that I will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, there are things in your life that you don't know that the enemy has set traps for you, that there are certain things that have been fashioned against you. Because there is a uniqueness about you that the enemy knows that, hey, if I know how to get, I know how I'm going to get Charlie, because I got his granddaddy, and I got his daddy, and I got his daddy's daddy. He knows. He knows the things. He just knows the right buttons to press. But the Lord says, hey, I will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Father, we thank you that you deliver us. You deliver your people. If you've ever been addicted to anything this morning, the Lord is thy deliverer. That he would deliver you from addiction, from pornography, from drugs, gossiping, anything. The only thing that we should be addicted to is the Lord. The only thing that we should be drunk on is in the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you're a great deliverer of your people. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Wow. Some good news would be, let me start off with some good news. Remember last week we prayed for our sister Faye, that she had a medical event and then she had to go to hospital. They worked on her heart. They had the top cardiologist work on her heart, and now she's at home recovering. They put a stent in her heart, I guess. And so now she's at home recovering. Hey, can we thank the Lord for being in Australia? Because if you were I'm not going to mention the countries, but if you were in some other country, that would have been curtains. So let us be super grateful for where the Lord has placed us. If we want to rattle off all the things that are negative about this country, can we be grateful that somebody can get medical treatment like that? Let us be grateful to the Lord. Let's just give the Lord one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I know where I'd rather be, you know. Because, hey, it's a big deal, eh? The way they, the stint put in your heart, and they did it. So we're so grateful to the Lord for Miss Faye, and, wonderful. The Lord is the one that gave these doctors the brains to do this. So healing comes in many forms. All right. I've always said this, and I believe with all my heart, that there is a practical aspect to our Christianity. It is not just theory. That there will come a time where the Lord will, yes, he'll keep feeding us, but after a while, he will say, actually, it's now your turn to feed people. That there is a great responsibility that has been put on you and I. That yes, the Lord will do wonderful things for us, and even as a church, that we can keep feeding, but then the Lord has got an expectation that we will do something with what he has given us. We spoke, remember that father who had his son that was convulsing and carrying on? He went expectant to the disciples to say, hey, I got this problem. Can you sort of like help me out? And unfortunately, the disciples could not what? Could not help him out. And so the Lord was not happy with the disciples. And the one thing he says that you faithless, what? Generation. How long shall I sort of like, you know, tolerate your nonsense? And so eventually the Lord cast out the demon from the boy. But what I like about the disciples, that they didn't just sort of like say, oh, thank you, Jesus, you did it. Let's keep moving. They said, why could we not cast out this one? Because that tells me that there were others that they would have cast out, but there was something about this one that they couldn't cast out. Then the Lord began to say, of course, that, it's through prayer and fasting, I guess, that there is, the whole point I'm trying to make is that there is an expectation that you are going to do something. The Lord has an expectation that you will bring back something. There will be a return on the investment that Jesus has deposited in your life. So in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. So who went out? It was Jesus. Then it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The threefold mission of the Lord Jesus Christ was that he came and he taught. He was teaching them, forming truth and understanding in them about the things of the Lord, proclaiming, announcing the gospel of the kingdom. And he went about healing. You have to understand why this is very important. Because back in those days, so what he was doing, he was restoring dignity, wholeness, and life. Because if you were sick, you were ostracized from the community. So this is what, when the Lord Jesus came back, what he was doing was restoring dignity. Because you got to think about it like this. If you were sick, imagine like that's like the COVID quarantine. 21 days, you're going to be quarantined. Now that was up until you had healing, you were ostracized from your family. And so the Lord came back and began to restore dignity, wholeness in people's lives. So that whole thing, he restored wholeness and gave life to people. Jesus' mission on this earth is the disciples' mission, which is to teach, to proclaim, to heal everywhere, all the time. There will be a call upon your life one day that you are going to have to do, you're going to have to teach, you're going to have to proclaim, and then most importantly, you're going to have to heal. And remember, it's not in your name that you heal, it's in the name of Jesus. There is an expectation that we are doing these things. In Ezekiel chapter 34, and this is the backdrop to Matthew chapter 9, he says that I will make with them a covenant of peace. This is the Lord saying, this is what I'm going to do with Israel. I will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessing. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And they shall know that I am the Lord, their God, with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord. These are the promises of God that were fulfilled in Jesus. This is why in Matthew chapter 9 it says, and Jesus went about through the cities and the villages, teaching, proclaiming, and healing. This is the person that they're talking about here. You have to understand, when the Lord said that towards the end of Ezekiel chapter 4, the very first verses he was talking about was the failed shepherds. There was an expectation that the shepherds of God would act in a certain way, that they would feed the sheep. But they were not doing that. They were feeding themselves instead of the sheep. They were neglecting the weak, the sick, the injured, and the strayed. And they allowed the flock to scatter. This is why the Lord then comes in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 to 24, and he says, I will search for the lost. I will rescue. I will strengthen. I will set above, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. Jesus is the fulfillment, the Davidic Messiah, the shepherd servant of the covenant of peace. So there was something that the leaders were doing that they were not doing. They were supposed to protect. They didn't do that. They were supposed to feed or to nourish. They didn't do that as well. Instead, it was all about themselves. Now imagine if as a church, that becomes our posture, that it's all about us and nobody else. All we're doing is we're coming here, we're singing a few songs, high-fiving, having coffee, and going home and keeping it like that. Over time, this entity will begin to go backwards, because the whole purpose is that we're supposed to be adding. We're supposed to be adding to the kingdom of God. It's just like, imagine if you just you have no job, and all you're doing is withdrawing from your bank account but not making deposits. Eventually, your money is going to what? is going to run out. We cannot be a self-serving institution. We are not there just for ourselves. We are there for others. Our responsibility is to do what? Is to bring others into the kingdom of God. It is a corporate responsibility, but it is also an individual responsibility. Back in the days, they used to be super strong. When I was here in Australia, probably 20-something years ago, they would go street evangelizing, because they knew there was a mandate that, hey, we need to do it to talk to people about the Lord. Now, we don't necessarily do that these days. It's a bit frowned upon. But that's what they used to do back in the days, because they understood this mandate that we have to continuously add to the kingdom of God. Amen. In Matthew chapter 25, as we begin to understand that Jesus gave us this great commission where he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe. Remember, this is what Jesus was doing in Matthew chapter 9. He was teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Discipleship for all of us here is about teaching, proclaiming, healing in every sphere, wherever we are located, at work, at school, at university, in our community. This is the mandate that we carry, the mandate of Christ. And we don't do it in our own strength or in our own authority. We do it because of the authority that Jesus gave us. Jesus goes on to explain in Matthew chapter 35, when he looked at the crowds, he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You got to notice what Jesus does not say. He doesn't say the people are the problem. Everybody out there, oh, they got their own issues in life. He doesn't say the harvest is too small. He doesn't say that we need a better strategy. The diagnosis is never the field, but it is always the laborers. The issue that we have is that laborers are what? Are few. Farmers generally have two problems when it comes to harvest time. Number one, Jock would know this, he's a farmer. They have more workers. So the problem that they may have is that they have more workers than there is work available. So that's a problem. Because guess what you're doing? You're wasting resources. Then the other problem they may have is that there is more work than workers available. What we have to understand is that in harvest season, there is an urgency that is there to make sure that you pick the crops at the right time, because there might be a short window. Otherwise, your crops will what? Will spoil. If there are not enough workers to gather the harvest quickly, valuable produce is lost. This is the picture that Jesus has used to describe people that are ready to receive the gospel. So he's saying the people out there, they're ready. They're ready to hear the gospel. Their hearts are ready, but the laborers are few. So the urgency was not about creating the harvest. It already existed. So we might think that people are closed to hearing about the gospel, to hearing about the Lord. But he turns it on his head and he says, no, no, no. People are ready. They just don't have anybody to guide them. The harvest is plentiful. The urgency is not creating hungry hearts. God has already prepared it for the people. The urgency is that someone must go and tell them that, hey, this is the good news of the kingdom of God. It says here in Romans 10, verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? People cannot respond to a message they have never heard. What we've been told by this scripture that the Lord, remember he said, is that pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. So that means people in the world, people that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, they are inclined to hear the word. Maybe we have told ourselves that, nah, people don't want to hear. And so therefore, if they don't come to church, I'm not going to say anything. The Lord is telling us completely that actually, change the way that you look at things. People are willing to hear. So now they need somebody to give them the message. And Jesus saw the overwhelm. We might feel overwhelmed. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a what? Shepherd. This was not ordinary pity that the Lord felt. This was deep, visceral feelings, compassion in motion. And I wonder, do we really see people? Do we see our friends? Do we really see them? Do we see our family, our co-workers, the people in our community? You know what? It's quite easy that it's very easy to actually come to church, but it's quite easy to not see people. It's quite easy. This is why I love what happens after the service, that everybody's, you know, engaging in fellowship and, you know, perhaps, you know, lay, hey, this is the problem I have, X, Y, Z. This is important because we have to see people. We might see people that are drunk and we don't see them like, oh, that's, you know, get over it. We might not see people. I don't know. So what you and I must have is this deep gut level desire that people would experience the life transforming power of Jesus Christ. But we have to see them. We have to look at people that we're interacting with on a daily basis with a different set of eyes. Sheep without a shepherd. This is in the Old Testament times. This was shorthand for leadership failure. These people were supposed to be doing something, but they were not. This is why when Jesus came as the shepherd servant, he did what the failed shepherds would not. And what he does is that he commissions you and I to do the same. It can get overwhelming. Oh my goodness, there's 50 of us here, 30, 40, 50. But there's thousands out there. Oh, it's too difficult. Where do I start? The thing what we have to understand is that sometimes it's not just about rushing and going. It's really what the Lord tells us, that it starts with prayer. He says, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Not strategy. Don't devise a strategy. Don't design programs first. Don't try and act first. So pray first. Petition first. Get alignment with the Lord first. So before we plan, we pray. Before we send people, we submit to the Lord. So there are three attributes of a disciple that participates in what the Lord is doing. Number one is that their response to the will of God. Priorities and convictions are anchored in wholehearted commitment to God's will. You see, the second thing is that we promote God's plan in and through and beyond history. We declare God's plan. So remember that the shepherds were supposed to look after the people, but they didn't. And so God then came and said, all right, look, I'm going to come and I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to protect them. And this is what the Lord was doing when he came in Matthew chapter 9, healing, teaching, and preaching. And the most important thing that we all have to do is that we have to bow under God's ultimate authority. The Lord of the harvest is God. There is no leadership, no discipleship, no fruitfulness apart from his authority. So we cannot do anything without the authority of the Lord. And this is why, and the other thing that we need to have, you see, is that we need to have a posture of subordination. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Under the old covenant in the New Testament, when they would bring the animal to get slaughtered on behalf of the people, the animal had no choice. Unfortunately, they would just pick, we'll pick Billy the goat, and kill Billy on our behalf. You and I have a choice. We present ourselves because we are both the priest, the one who intercedes, and we are both, and also the sacrifice. So to pray, send laborers, is sometimes to present yourself first before the Lord. Your body, your time, your resources, and your voice. So what is our response to this? Discipleship is embodied obedience, not just internal sentiment. Remember what I said is that there is a responsibility that you and I have. It's not just theory. There's practical. There is a practical aspect to our Christianity. So after, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, and I'll read, it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching, preaching, and healing people of every disease and affliction. And then he says, and then he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he turns to his disciples and he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he might send laborers out into what? His harvest. Immediately when he says that, that's the end of chapter 9, chapter 10, verse 1. And he called to him his 12 disciples and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction. You are both the priest and the sacrifice. The call of Jesus is not just to admire the harvest, it is to enter the field. And as we finish, may we just stand this morning as we look to finish. The challenge is not just that we go, we rush out and we do stuff. I think that if we just to follow the direction of what the Lord Jesus is doing, what I want for all of us this week, the challenge is that we pray for compassion. Hey, Lord, maybe I'm not as compassionate as I thought I was. Maybe I don't have this gut level desire or compassion to see people saved. So now we're going to pray for compassion. Lord, help me to see people the way that you see them. Not see them as lost and just useless people, but let me see them. Let my eyes see people the way that you see them. Then the next challenge this week is to pray for workers. Lord, I just pray that you would send laborers, you would send workers out. And you know, the one thing about praying that is that you might be the one that he's going to send out. So you're going to ask him, Lord, how do I show up in my workplace? How do I see things differently? And then, of course, God, pray that God sends you to your family, to your friends, to your workplace, to your school, your university, and to your community. And remember, the authority that you're exercising is not your own. It is the authority that has been bestowed to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an expectation, as the Lord taught us, that he expects a return on investment on C3 Fremantle. And in a few hours, I'll be saying the same thing to C3 Kwinana. There is a expectation on return on investment. This is not meant to overwhelm us. This is just causing all of us individually to say, hey, Lord, may I have the compassion that you have. This deep level, oh my goodness, this gut level thing, when we think about the harvest being ripe, that people are ready, maybe the way that we were looking at them was different. And we thought that people are closed to hear the message of the kingdom. But what Jesus is telling us that, hey, no, please don't get it twisted. They are ready. They are ready to hear. And I wonder this week, would you take the challenge? Just to sort of like in your own time and in your own moments with the Lord, just say, Lord, may I have a heart of compassion like you do. You begin to pray for workers. Hey, and then I send me. Ultimately, it's like send me to the workplace. Send me to my family. I actually think that the most important thing that, and this is why there's a bit of science to this, that you start off with your family. This is where we are supposed to be. We send us to our families first. Then you send us to our friends, the people within our network. Then you send us to our work, because that's another world we've been given. And then, of course, the community. My life is very small, super small. On most days, I drive from Canning Vale and I go to Pound Coffee. And then on a Monday from Pound Coffee, I come to this church here. And then I leave here and I go back to Canning Vale. I might go into the city, I might not. Then on the other days, I do my work that I do. And my world is very small. Then I go to the shops. Then maybe on a Saturday, I might go to Tori's Butchery and buy some meat in Vic Park. No, wherever it is. Northbridge. Yeah, in Northbridge. And then I go back home. Then I might go to the shops. My life, you sort of like see what I'm saying is that our lives are very small. I don't go. Very rarely do I go to Joondalup or the northern side of Perth. And if I have to go there, I'm very annoyed if I have to go there. So that tells us that our world is small. But it is in this world that we are called to influence people. So Father, I just thank you this morning, Lord, that the harvest is surely plentiful, but the workers are few. And we take the challenge, Jesus, this week to pray to the Lord of the harvest, that we would see the harvest the way that you see it, that the harvest is ripe, that the people are ready and they're willing to listen. Lord, let us not lie to you. Maybe we've been too scared, too timid, and we have thought they are close to you. But you're telling us this morning that no, the harvest is ripe. They're ready to hear. So Father, we pray for a deep level compassion, that we might feel the same way you felt. We pray that you would send out workers, but Lord, that you would send us out as well. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, and before we finish, it's always imperative that you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm just going to invite all of us to say a prayer this morning. David, we can get that song cranking. If you've never made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to a prayer of invitation into following, making Jesus not just your Savior, but the Lord of your life. Pray after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, forgiving me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins today, and I make the decision to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that this morning, just lift up your hand so I can see.
Can I hear the church for thou?
Yes. Thank you. Lord God, I just thank you this morning that my brother would be assured of his salvation in you. I thank you for Brett, Lord God. I thank you for his life. That you would give him courage. You would give him strength to follow you. For thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. You are my glory. You are the lifter of my head. I thank you, Lord God, for your people this morning, that you are the great deliverer. Oh God, may we feel like Jesus felt. May we have this gut level compassion that you had. May we see the harvest like you see it. And Lord, we ask that you would send each of us to our family. In fact, Lord, we make ourselves available to you this morning to go to our family, to our friends, to our workplace, to our school, to our university. Jesus, we give you praise. Bless your people as they leave this place in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says, God bless you, church. Have a wonderful week.